And it's a specific holy meal for a holy people. The Lord's Supper was born out of the Passover celebration. A celebration meal of God's deliverance for his people from the tyranny and enslavement of the Egyptians. Christ then transforms this meal into a celebration and a commemoration of his salvation for his people from the tyranny and enslavement of sin. And so what we've sought to do over the years have a fourfold approach to observing the Lord's Supper. Once each year, we will look at it from the perspectives of the following. Its origin through Christ. And in that, we looked at that in September. Its roots in the Passover, how that it was instituted by Christ, reserved for a holy community, and it's observed in hope. We saw during the Christmas season, Keith spoke and gave a devotion connecting the Lord's table to the birth of Christ, its connection to the physical body of Christ, as well as to the Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant. Tonight, we'll look at its actualization in the death and resurrection of Christ. And Daniel will give a devotion this evening. We'll look at its culmination, the return of Christ. We are to observe this meal in joyful hope until he comes and we drink this cup anew with him in his Father's kingdom. He says that as you do this, remember me, and that we're to observe it until he comes again. The death and resurrection of Christ, friends, was not an afterthought in the mind of God or of the mission of Christ. Luke reveals that Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, Acts 2:23. He later adds that the opponents of Christ did whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place, Acts 4:28. Moreover, the death and resurrection of Christ was foretold in the Old Testament and mentioned repeatedly by the Lord himself during his earthly ministry. Jesus came by divine purpose to give his life as a ransom for men. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Beloved, Christ came to reveal the love of the Father by becoming the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God, the sin-bearing sacrifice of salvation for mankind. As Paul told the Romans, he was delivered up, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification, Romans 3:25. By God's favor and the effectual power of the Spirit of God through faith, Christ's blood is metaphorically applied to the doorpost of our heart, cleansing us from sin, transferring us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We avert God's righteous judgment through his love gift, the Passover Lamb, Christ Jesus. Beloved, it is in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, Ephesians 1:7. Peter adds that it's according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead, 1 Peter 1:3. We are here this evening to celebrate Christ and our union with him in his life, death, and resurrection. And at this time, we'll have our first song. So John, if you'll come and lead us in song.
Let's go ahead and stand and sing together hymn number 272, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Visible above in beauty glorified. At this time, we'll have our readers come forward, and Ben will lead us in the first reading. Linda T. Arch will lead us in the reading of the chorus, and Carolyn. Carolyn's first. I'm sorry. Yes, Carolyn is reader number one, and then Linda is the chorus reader, and Ben is reader number three of our scripture this evening.
Okay, from the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 9. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. And from Psalm 118, verse 22 to 25, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success.
From 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread.
From the New Testament, John 20, 19 through 20, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked and where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And from 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 6, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Caiaphas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep.
We'll sing another hymn together, hymn number 258. And it's hard to sing this one sitting down, so if you're able, let's stand once more and we'll sing it together. 258, Christ Arose.
This time, Daniel Lau will come up and he'll lead us in our, give us a devotion on the thoughts, and he'll be answering two questions concerning the resurrection. So, two questions tonight. Why did Jesus need to be resurrected? And why is Jesus' resurrection important to us as believers? When Pastor and Keith and I, some time ago, decided to highlight different aspects of the Lord's Supper, we wanted to pull out different things, because I think the tendency is to just focus solely on his crucifixion. But do we give thought to these questions? Why did Jesus need to be resurrected? Think back to when Jesus' final words on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. Right? What's that mean? Paid in full. Paid in full. Our sin had been atoned for. I think of many famous hymns that are dear to us. Right, at the cross, at Calvary,
Calvary covers it all. Near the cross, when I survey the wondrous cross, the old rugged cross. Dear hymns that speak to us of important truths about Christ's atoning work on the cross. And if any one of us were to ask a child, what is so important about Jesus Christ? What did Jesus do? I think the answer that they would probably give you is, well, he died on the cross, right? Important truth. But it doesn't end there. There's more to it than that. There's more that needed to happen for our salvation to be accomplished. So I have another question. Why couldn't God have just sent Jesus from heaven as a full-grown man on the morning of his crucifixion, you know, just set him down that morning, had him go through all the torment that he endured, being mocked, being ridiculed, died on the cross, and then just took him back up to heaven? Could God have done that? I think he could have. But again, it doesn't fully explain the need for Christ to be born, the need for him to come. It wasn't sufficient to accomplish our salvation. So there's two other things that needed to happen for our salvation to be complete. Number one, Jesus needed to live a life of holiness. He needed to come to earth to live a holy life. And number two, the resurrection. Both of those things, in addition to the crucifixion, are vital for completing our salvation. So we understand that Christ lived a perfect life, a life of perfect obedience. He was 100% sinless in every way. And why is this significant? Because all of us are sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every human being who has ever been born has sinned in almost every way possible. And Jesus is a clear contrast between us, between all of humanity, and himself. Jesus never disobeyed. He never dishonored his parents. He never lied. He never stole. He never coveted. He never gossiped. He never slandered. He never said one word that wasn't edifying. He never had one lazy moment in his life. He was never selfish, never prideful, never greedy, never lustful. I could go on and on, but you get the point. But instead of having any sin in him, he was, as Hebrews tells us, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And Jesus perfectly fulfilled the commandments that were given to us. The two greatest commandments. Number one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number two, to love your neighbor as yourself. And he was, again, a perfect picture. He fulfilled those two commandments, the greatest commandments, perfectly. Jesus showed us what true love for God and others looks like. He showed us what true obedience looks like. He showed us what true devotion to the will of God looks like. He showed us how to suffer. He came to do the will of the Father, which was to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to be a ransom for many. He came to live a perfectly holy and righteous life, to die a horrific death on a cross, and to be resurrected to atone for, which means to pay for, the sins of all who would believe on him. So that takes me to my next point, which is not only did he need to live a spotless, sinless life, Not only did he need to die, but of course he had to be resurrected. Because our Savior is not a dead Savior, he's an alive Savior. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 19. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished in Christ. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. God conquered death through the resurrection of his Son. Not only was the death of Christ defeated through the resurrection, but the death, and let me emphasize here that we're not talking about the death from this life, but an eternal death, a separation from God. Not only did he defeat death through the resurrection, but the death, separation from God, of all believers was defeated. And this is why we can say, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And this takes me to the second question. Why is Jesus' resurrection important to us as believers? And there's many things we could say about this, but let me, because this is just a short devotion, let me sum this up in 2 points. I think there's 2 reasons. A new life and a living hope. You know, I love this time of year. I think most of us probably hate winter. It's cold, it's dark, it's dreary. Everything's dead. But this time of year, the days begin to get warmer, and we start to see life. The birds are chirping. We see plants and flowers come up out of the ground, along with some weeds. But we focus on the good things, right? We start to see buds on the trees. It's a sign of life, and it reminds me of the new life that we've been given through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:4 says, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Scripture tells us old things have passed away and all things have become new. God has made us a new creation, a new creature. We've been chosen by God and created in Christ Jesus for good works. Jesus showed us what that looks like. He was our example, a perfect picture of righteousness, and we are to emulate our Savior. We are to put off the works of the flesh, put off the sins that keep us from enjoying God. We're to live as Jesus lived, in humility and with thanksgiving, loving God and loving others as ourselves. And then a living hope. 1 Peter 1:3 and 4 says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." There are times in this life where we suffer like Christ did. But thanks be to God that he is a sympathetic high priest who knows what it's like to be human. Jesus Christ suffered many of the things that we do. He experienced weakness, hunger, thirst, mockery, ridicule, disappointment, and pain. But we also know that this life is just a vapor. At times, our lives can seem to drag on when we are experiencing tribulation. We wonder, will God ever rescue me from, from this trial. But this life is fast. When compared to eternity, it is just a drop in the ocean. It's here and it's gone. So there's no need to fear in this life or in death, because Christ conquered death so that we may obtain eternal life. And this hope, by the way, this is not a hope like most of Rantoul experienced on Friday night, where we hoped that the tornado wouldn't hit us. Right? It's not a fretting about what may or may not happen. This hope is an earnest expectation. We long for the day when the full extent of our salvation will be revealed. And we are experiencing our salvation even now. But even now we only see through a glass darkly. But one day our glorification will come to pass. One day we will receive our glorified bodies. One day there will be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more disappointments, no more pain, no more sin. One day all of that will be done away with, and we will worship our Savior as he was meant to be worshiped. This is what we celebrate when we partake in the Lord's table. Because of his life, death, and resurrection, we rejoice in the new life we experience even now, even in our sin-cursed bodies, even in a sin-cursed world, but also the life that we will experience as we worship our Savior for all eternity. That's our hope. So as we partake in the Lord's Supper in just a moment, let's remember not only Christ's life and death, but also the life, the new life and living hope that we've been given. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift.
If I could have please. To help with the take a moment to pray before we consider the Lord's table. Holy Triune God in heaven, we thank you for giving us the bread and the cup. Tonight, we take time to listen to the bread and the cup as they tell us the good news of the death, burial, resurrection, and return of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. For what I received from the Lord, what I also deliver to you, that on the night the Lord Jesus, when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink the cup. You proclaim, or do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord." Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment to himself. This evening, as we take the, as we look at the bread and the cup, a couple of thoughts. Our Lord Christ Jesus chose two staples of the Mediterranean diet that people ate every day, bread and wine. And in these two staples, he chose these two staples to proclaim, to announce, to make known the good news. And what's exciting about being at the Lord's table is we are able to worship God with our five senses when we worship at the table. We see the bread. We can hear the breaking of the bread. In a few minutes, you will feel the texture of the bread. You will eat the bread. You'll be able to taste it. And so also with, and you can smell the bread as well. And the cup, you can see it. You can hear it being poured out. And in a moment, you will handle the cup and you will taste and smell the cup. And we listen to the cup tell the good news. Take a moment and let's pray before we take the cup, or before we take the bread. Holy Father above, we remember what the Bible says. People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. We thank you for sending us your Son, the Lord Christ Jesus, who is the bread of heaven, whose body was broken to make us whole. Eat the bread as it tells the good news to us. So take a moment and pray before we participate in the cup. Holy Father above, we remember what the Bible tells us, that you gave wine to make people's hearts happy. We thank you for sending your Son, our Lord Christ Jesus, whose blood was poured out to erase our sins. It is the cup of thanksgiving that makes our hearts happy. Amen. Thank you. worship our Lord Christ Jesus as we listen to the cup of Thanksgiving. Tell us his good news. At this time, John will come and lead us in a closing song.
Let's close with hymn number 260, 260, Christ the Lord is risen today. Let's stand once more if you're able, sing together.
I didn't, nobody had mentioned to me perhaps a word of encouragement or something that the church or maybe the teaching or another example has, I just asked ahead of time if we could, so I could budget time. But I wanted to give an opportunity maybe tonight that some of you would like to, just 1 minute or less, how that God has worked in your heart through this local church, that he's been a blessing to you, has encouraged you. Anybody have a word of testimony? Yes, Joe.